Shalom Aleichem. It's very exciting for me to be in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, but we deeply miss you, and we are feeling a lot of tsar for Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of optimism. This is the month of Geula. Adar is the month of Geula. Nisan is the month of Geula. And they're all different types of geula that we have. All different types of redemption. All different types of ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to Yeshua's Gedolus. And we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, but we know there's a plan. And there's no suffix that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involved in something very big right now. And it's a zman for us to do tremendous amounts of tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moving mountains for Klal Yisrael, the Ezer Hashem to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. My Rebbe, Reb Moshe Shapira Zatzal, said that there's regular Hashkachas Hashem in the world, regular Hashkacha Pratis, and then there's times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves things very fast to where he wants them. He says usually that happens in a time of war. You have a war like World War I, World War II, the entire landscape of the world changes right away. Within a couple months, the world is a different place. And my Rebbe said, Milchama is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves things very fast when he wants the world to get to a place that it can't get to in a natural process. And I think we're seeing a different tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. I'm sure if my Rebbe was alive today, he would be saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating some type of milchama. It's not the regular type of warfare, and not the regular type of enemy, but the world is being moved very quickly into a different place. And there's no suffix that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us, Be'ezus Hashem, to a better place. But we have to be reflective and we have to do tshuva. So there's no better thing to be involved in than discussing Pesach. Pesach is the Zman of Geula, and we are in this Zman, this Mesugel for Geula. And let's try to understand the Yontif a little bit better. Let's learn together. It's such a chizuk to learn with everyone. I'm sad that I can't see everyone, but I know you're there. It's not easy for me to talk to a screen, but I'm talking to neshamas. And I'd like to try to understand a little bit the Yontif of Pesach better than we have before. First of all, let's talk about matzah. That's really going to be the focus of what we're talking about over here. Matzah is not just a mitzvah that we have on the night of the Seder. Matzah is Pesach. And it's very strange. The Pasuk Chazal call the Yontif of Pesach Chag HaMatzos. It's essentially the Yontif of Matzah, which is a very strange name for a Yontif of crackers. I mean, of course, it is a mitzvah that we do, and it has tremendous chashivas, but the whole Yontif is called Chag HaMatzos. The rest of the Yontif, you don't have to eat matzah. According to the Vilna Gaon, there could be a kiyum of eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach. But at the end of the day, matzah is one singular act on the night of Pesach. And why is the Yontif called Chag HaMatzos? That's one question. Another question, and it's basically the other side of the coin, which is chametz. Chametz is such a serious aveira. Chametz is a chi of karis. And it's very strange, right? It's not just that you eat matzah, it's also that if you eat bread, Rachmana Litzlan, Chi of Karis, that's it. Cut off from the Jewish people. What's so bad about a bagel? A bagel, we had it on Erev Pesach. A person woke up in the morning, he had a bagel. All of a sudden, for a week, a bagel is a Chi of Karis. I mean, it's one thing. Chazer, Beseder, Basar V'chalov, a cheeseburger. But what's going on over here when we're talking about Chametz being so bad? What's the hashkafa of the Torah over here? What's the Torah teaching us about the Yontif of Pesach? So let's understand. Matzah. What is matzah? Matzah, we know, is called lechem oni, poor man's bread. Now, the Maharal is very bothered by this in Gvuras Hashem. The Maharal says, the Pasuk says, why do we eat Lechem Oni? Because we left Mitzrayim b'chipazim. We left in haste, quickly. Essentially, why are we eating this bread, this matzah? Because of the Geula. Not because of the fact that we were in Mitzrayim stuck as slaves, but because we left fast. And the Maharal says that if you're going to learn that poor man's bread is because of the slavery, when we were in Mitzrayim, like a poor man eats bread, let's say, eats matzah, for digestive reasons, it stays in your system very long. So a slave or a poor man needs that type of sustenance that stays in the digestive system for a long time. That's not what you would have during a Zman of Geula. That's what you would have when you're enslaved. But the Pasuk says when we leave Mitzrayim b'chipazon, we should eat matzah. What does that have to do with redemption? And the Maharal doesn't like all the other pshatim. He doesn't like the pshat that matzah is flat and simple like a poor man, because he says we need to find a point over here of why the poor man's bread is not a reason to be enslaved or poor, but a reason to be free. This is very deep what we're going to discuss here. It's good I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and you're getting the waves of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha and the Omek of Eretz Yisrael Diketaira. So let's try to understand exactly what it is about matzah, poor man's bread, that's a reason for him to be redeemed, that allows for an exodus, that allows for a geula. The Maharal says the following. What is the poor man's bread of matzah? Matzah is plain. It's bland. It has no flavor. It's basically just water and flour. It's simple. That's what it means to be poor. No frills. Nothing attached to it. No possessions. No flair. No spice. Just simple. Simple, simple, simple. And in fact, we find in Chazal that if you put a little bit of juice into that matzah, you want to put some apple juice in there, maybe some mango juice to flare it up, it's called matzah ashira, a wealthy man's matzah. It loses its status of being called poor. And says the Maharal something incredible. He says that all year round, wealth is good, stuff is good, flair and spice and life, and all the things that we need in life to get us moving. They're all good. And we need them all year round. But they do tie us down. They do stop us sometimes from growth. You know, a person davens for nechasim. But at the end of the day, even with that marbe nechasim, marbe daigus, when a person has wealth, it causes him to be tied to that wealth. And somehow if a person is tied to anything, then he can't be redeemed, because he's bound to his situation. Even a person who's has a whole company and he's doing good things, but if that's his company, if that's what he does, so then he can't go and do something else because he's got to be involved in his company. His company is very successful, but it's limiting because we want this guy to do more than be involved in his company. We want him to branch out, but he can't, because he's got this particular thing that he does. And matzah's about removing everything and going back to the basics. When you're a plain cracker with no flavor, the options are endless. You could put jelly on there. You could put cream cheese on there. You can make matzah pizza, right? If I have no ingredients in the cracker itself, then I'm elastic and flexible and able to do whatever needs to be done. That's what it means to have a geula. How does a person really become free? When a person does not feel tied down. And the Maharal writes, all year round, we're supposed to be tied down. We're supposed to have our responsibilities and we're supposed to deal with all of our brachas. But one time a year for 7 days, we have to be plain and simple, no frills. let go. And when you let go, you can do much more. When you let go, you can do much more. Well, consider the following mashal. You have a guy, a bacher, he's 17, gets his license. He wants to drive everywhere. And he's actually a good driver. He drives his mother to the store. He drives his family wherever they want to go. And suddenly it's time for him to go to Eretz Yisrael for the year. It's his big zman, El Zman, in Aderes HaTorah. And his parents say, okay, we booked you a flight. He says, no. I want to drive to Eretz Yisrael. That's what I do. I have wheels. I'm driving to Eretz Yisrael. Well, you could drive to the airport, my good man. But you can't drive to Eretz Yisrael. No. I want to drive to Eretz Yisrael. I'm a driver. That's what I do. I'm good at driving. It's very nice. You're good at driving. You can drive to the airport. But if you want to get to Eretz Yisrael, you need to sit in a seat and do absolutely nothing and let a pilot of a plane who's much more trained than you fly you to Eretz Yisrael. But if you're not willing to let go of what you're good at and not let somebody else catapult you into something else, then you will not be able to get to Eretz Yisrael. And this is exactly what happens on the night of the Seder. And this is exactly what happened to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael needed Hashem to catapult them out of Mitzrayim in a way that they could have never done on their own. With all of their spice and all of their flair, if they would try to show their own stuff, their own kochos, and not surrender themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they would be stuck in the car and they wouldn't be able to fly out of where they needed to go. Comes the matzah and tells us that the way to have a geula, which is not just steiging. Steiging you can do the whole year round, and you can do that. You can do that with matzah shira. You can do that with chametz. You can do that with all the things in your life. But if you want a geula, which means to be taken out of your situation, thrust into a better world, an olam haba of sorts, then you have to be simple. You have to be no frills and say, Hashem, I'm getting on the plane. I'm sitting here waiting for takeoff. You take me. And the Maharal says something incredible. He says that there's another time of year where we need a spiritual redemption. On Yom Kippur, we know that the Kohen Gadol has the Shmona Begadim. He has the most beautiful, ornate, big day Zahav. Beautiful. But when he goes Lifnai V'Lifnim, he wears white. He keeps it simple. Nothing fancy. No tuxedos. No black ties. Everything just me going in front of Hashem and saying, Hashem, you take care of me. You bring me to where I need to go. That's the idea of matzah being a geula food. And that's what it has to do with chipazon. What does it mean to leave Mitzrayim quickly? Listen to this deep understanding of Rav Isaac Chaver in the Yad Mitzrayim Haggadah. He says the following. We think that the pshat in leaving quickly is putting it on fast forward, right? You could leave slow, you could leave medium speed, or you could leave fast forward. So we left so fast. That's not the pshat in chipazon. And that's certainly not a deep pshat. You know what chipazon means? You could leave like the way you could leave a country. You could leave Mitzrayim with your legs. You could leave with what you have, your capabilities, your strength, your ability to fight. All of those things are wonderful talents. But listen, buddy, if you leave that way, it's not a guarantee you're going to get out because you're a slave. And you want to get to becoming a free man. You want to change your life entirely. You want to be catapulted into a new existence. If you want to drive there, then you're not going to fly. You're not going to fly. And what chipazon means is not that everything happened fast. It's that it happened in a way that's totally not the regular mahalach. Every regular mahalach is a process where we steig. We develop over years, over time. There's a process over here. And then there's Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem thrusts us out Normally, Hashem uses even a whole system of malachim, a process from top to bottom. Hashem sends malachim down to take care of what we need. Malachim come back up while we're davening. Malachim going up and down. On Pesach, ani velo malach. Hashem is the pilot. Hashem says, get on my plane and we're taking off. How do you get on this plane? By knowing you can't drive. By knowing that you have to surrender yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani velo malach. And we're eating this message, which is very interesting. We're eating the matzah. I mean, we're hearing a shmooze right now. What does it mean to eat this? Why do we have to eat the matzah? And the Zohar HaKadosh explains, no. The matzah has in it something that gets you to this point, that gets you to start being simple. That on Pesach, it lets a person finally just let go. Be no frills, no strings attached. Throw away all of the things in life that aren't you. They might be good and they might be necessary, but we're being so real over here. It's just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's happening when a person eats matzah, they get to this point. You know, there's an expression, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. I don't know, it's an interesting expression, but I want you to know the Ramban says this in one place. The Ramban talks about that when you eat machalas asuras rachmana litzlan, a person starts to act like the animals or the tarfus that they ate. But in the Kedusha realm, it's true, of course, as well. When a person eats the matzah, he becomes the matzah. He becomes it. And this is why it always bothers me. You know, sometimes you go to these siddurim where people sort of nibble on their matzah and they don't eat a kezayis kedei achilas pras like the halachas are supposed to be. They make it like a Thanksgiving suda, a Thanksgiving dinner, I should say. I don't think there's such a thing as a Thanksgiving suda. But they make it like a Thanksgiving dinner and they're sipping their dalad kosas, taking little sips. The halachas of how we eat the matzah or how we're going to get this emunah, how we're going to be able to let go of things that aren't important for us when we're trying to define who we are. We eat bread, right? Matzah is a form of bread. It's a lechem. It's a lechem oni. Lechem is gematria, the Arizal says, yud ke vav ke, three times. 26, 26, and 26, right? 78. That's what lechem is. Why? The Shem Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is the concept of Havaya, is what's happening in the world. There's Haya, Hove, V'yiyeh. The past, the present, and the future. When a person eats bread, any type of bread, they are getting fuel, right? I always think of eating as kind of like stopping at a gas station because it gives you energy for that a certain amount of time. A person has a bagel in the morning, he can go through an entire section of time. He can go through an entire morning seder and steig, right? From that bagel. That bagel is a key to time. It's haya hoive v'yidia. Actually, food is a way of getting through olam hazeh. And it's not simple, the things that we put in our mouths. And I wanted to say that's pshat in benching. Why in benching? It always bothered me. In Birchas HaMazon, right, the mitzvah d'oraisa of achalta v'savato v'rachta. We should thank Hashem for food, befrat, bread, and we have to involve over there, talking about Eretz Yisrael, talking about the Beis HaMikdash, talking about Bris Milah, talking about Torah, right? You're not Yotzeh if you don't mention all these things. What does that have to do with eating? Why during benching? Just let me thank Hashem for the food in front of me. I have to thank him for Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Torah, Bris Milah. What's the Shaychus? The answer is that food itself is destiny. Food is the ability to move from one place to the next, to have the amount of strength to move forward from point A to point B. And on Pesach, that's exactly what the matzah does for us. The matzah lets us go into simplicity. It lets us go into a place that's just plain old me. I'm like a Kohen Gadol. I'm not wearing a black tie. I'm not wearing a tuxedo. I'm just wearing big day lavan. I'm wearing my simple clothes. And to tell you the truth, I think this is the message that we need to hear with what's going on today. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, but we can watch it unfold. And what we're seeing is that Hashem is taking us to a world that's no frills. For the first time in my lifetime, we're seeing chasanas that are taking place in apartments, right, in backyards. This reminds me of Poland. We haven't seen something like this since Poland, since pre-war Europe. What's going on? People who are used to carving stations, used to unlimited sushi, right? Watching the video on live from who knows where at every point of the chasana, drones flying over the chasan the whole time. What's happening over here? And now people are getting married in apartments. What's happening is we're experiencing matzah. We're starting to realize how beautiful things are in their most bare form. Bread, lechem oni, water, and flour. And we're experiencing real simcha over here. We're tapping into things that we had to be forced into, but there's a certain refreshing element over here of going back to basics, of appreciating the very simple idea that a chasana is really a masader kedushin, two edim, a chuppah, a ring, a chasan, a kala, and a couple people surrounding the chuppah. That's what it is. And perhaps we've lost focus when we decide which ultimate band we're going to have with five of the hottest superstar musicians coming to the chasana, where everybody's just sort of watching the musicians and no one could care less about the chasan and kala. Bari Olam is doing a lot over here. Bari Olam is touching so many different areas. Bari Olam is touching the stock market. Bari Olam is touching our basic interactions with people. And Pesach, Bari Olam is touching our Pesach. Matzah is the food of simplicity, right? And Pesach programs are wonderful, and a lot of people need to go on Pesach programs. But there's a certain simplicity to spending Pesach at home. And Bari Olam somehow found a way to let people who were always afraid of that real experience of being home, of the Gadita Levincha in their dining room, for them to finally have an excuse to be able to experience the Romamus of a Seder at home. Not a Seder with 1,000 people together, and not a Seder even with that private room that they spent extra money on at the hotel, but a Romamus Dika Matzav in their own Dalid Amas. No frills. No frills. And we have to realize that matzah, that appreciating the basics, is a lesson that we can learn. We don't give reasons for why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having us go through what we're going through over here. We don't give our own reasons, but we're supposed to steig. And there's a lot of steiging over here. There's a lot of steiging that's causing people to go back to the most basic things and appreciate them and connect with them. And chametz, the Rav Isaac Chaver says, there's essentially a very little difference between chametz and matzah. If you take the word chametz, it's ches, mem, tzadi, right? Mem, tzadi, hey is matzah. But if you take the hey of matzah and you close the hey, you just close it with that little line, you get chametz. Chametz and matzah are the same. There's just a little line on the. If you close the whole of the hay, then the matzah becomes chametz. And says Rav Isaac Chaver, all year round we have a world of chametz. If you look at the ches can bring you down. There are things that it only has one way down. It's locked on the top. It's closed. And there's only one way to fall down, right? The Gemara says in Shabbos that a hay has an opening on the top for Bali Tshuva to climb back in. Matzah is optimism. Sometimes the chametz, all of the luxuries, all of the spice, which we need and we love, but it causes us to lose our focus on the basics. And all we need to do is open up that chametz a little. Open it up. Open our hearts itself. Turn the chametz into matzah. Go back to the basics for 1 week and reevaluate ourselves. Reevaluate our situation. Live simply like a poor man who's actually free and experience that. And it's not easy. There's a lot of nisyonos. You know, I would like to say that being home doesn't present nisyonos. It presents a lot of nisyonos. First of all, in a family like mine, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of kids, entertaining the kids, right? Making sure everyone's getting along, having a proper structure and frame of mind and sanity. But for Bachrim, being home is also very dangerous because technology is a way of sort of dealing with no idea of what you're going to do, what's going to be. So people just tend to run to their computers. And I think what we have to do in this matzav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing us home to see if we can be pnimi at home, if we can do things of substance, very basic connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and stay away from the things that bring us down. Every moment that a person does something in an Eis Tzara, he has to be thinking, am I fixing the problem that's going on in Klal Yisrael? If I'm stuck at home, how could I be Mekadeshim Shamayim in my house? If I'm dealing with the issues of the stock market plummeting, how can I take a high road in all this and keep my Yishuv Adas to be Mekadeshim Shamayim? If I'm dealing with the fact that I can't, some of us can't go to Minyan, we have to understand, how can I have a Pnimius davening when I'm davening B'chidus, or I feel away from all of that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing us back to the basics. I love all of you. I miss you all. We're davening for each other, and we should see the Geula Shlema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us to what's best for us, and we should be zeicha that to get the lesson now, to get the lesson without any person or any situation being difficult, any harm on anything or anyone, and to see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheira b'yameinu, and to be zeicha, to be at the Seder in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, eating the Karban Pesach, and you're all invited to my Chabura. I'm here first, but you're welcome to get on a plane. Kol Tuv Selah.